praise the Lord. I was not just stalling and buying time to make sure I could preach something to you. Glory to God. But I was just overwhelmed by the Spirit and the presence of the Lord, you know, up here as I was getting ready to minister. You know, there's so many things that have been on my heart and all kind of in the line of the same direction. And you guys have certainly have seen a great deal of that. And I imagine we're going to continue to see that as we go forward. Praise the Lord. But God is calling us to himself. Amen. He's calling us to be more holy people. You know, the Bible says that he is coming back for a glorious church without spot or blemish. Amen. And how many know that if it's not going to have spot or blemish, it needs to be laundered. It needs to be cleaned. Amen. You know, this morning as I was getting ready for church and I threw on my undershirt, I put it on and I was standing in front of the mirror and I noticed there were some stains on it. Apparently I was, apparently I was in a food fight the last time I wore it. Glory to God. And so I was looking at it, I was, well, I can't wear that, amen. I threw it away. I didn't throw it away, but I'm going to throw it away. I'll use it for a shop rag or something because it's no longer any good for, because I wear those shirts underneath the suit, glory to God, and I come with a suit. The only time I generally wear that is when I'm preaching. And so I do that as honor towards the Lord. You know, this world's lost a lot about honor and respect. You know, I'm not saying that people need to wear suits all the time and stuff like that, or even to church or anything like that. But there is this idea about standing before the Lord and doing so humbly and doing so respectfully and with honor. And that's one of the reasons why you don't see honor in the world, because there's no honor for God anymore either. Well, praise the Lord. Glory to God. All that to just say I can't wear a spotted t-shirt when I'm preaching. Amen. Even though you can't see it, glory to God. The Lord can. Hallelujah. Not that he would even, you know, you understand. Praise the Lord. Well, today's message is an adaptation of what I was originally going to preach. My wife did explain that to some of you. I thought the whole thing would change, but just some stuff was added to it. So we're talking to today's message is the plan of God. And I subtitled it Salvation Through Testimony. And we're going to be talking about this from this standpoint, but there's some things I had to share and some things that are on my heart. Believe in the Lord to bring it all together. So I hope you're believing for the same thing. Glory to God. And God will get us there. He'll help us with it. Amen? Amen. Praise the Lord. It is time to get into the plan of God. It's time that we as Christians really be in the plan of God. And I'm going to start over there in Jeremiah 29:11. But I'm going to pull it up in the Amplified because I want you to see that. I don't know. Did you get my scriptures back there? Okay. So you don't. Okay. Perfect. Praise the Lord. I sent them to him after she was already doing announcements. So you never know if they get them. Praise the Lord. But it says, therefore, I know the thoughts. Of course, my wife read this, and you guys read it with her. Praise the Lord. For I know the thoughts and plans that I have for you, says the Lord. Thoughts and plans for welfare and peace and not for evil, to give you hope in your final outcome. Now, you know, originally I thought I was going to have a board out here, a little dry erase board, and I was going to draw some things, write some things on there. And I really wanted to do that, but I just didn't think I had a board big enough, and I figured I could explain it in a way that you could see it anyway. So if you bear with me, pretend I'm drawing on a dry erase board or a chalkboard, and you'll understand. What I want you to do right now is you're looking at that scripture up there. I want you to, in your mind, I want you to underline the word I there. There's two I's there. I want you to, not I like the I in your head, but the I up there, amen, the single letter. Underline both of those I's in your understanding. Hallelujah. For I know, and of course we know that I is not I as in me or as in you, but this I is speaking of God. And so we could replace for the word I with the word God. And we could look at that this way, for God knows the thoughts and the plans that God has for you. This is really important for us to understand. This is really important for us to get, that God has thoughts and plans. And I know we talk about this all the time. We talk about this a lot. But there's purpose, there is a method to my madness, amen? There is a reason why we continually hit these things. And that's because church is so far out of the plan of God, not our church, not, you know, any specific church, but the church as a whole is so far out of the plan of God that we need to hear these things until we are in the plan of God, amen? For God knows the thoughts and the plans that God has for you. Now, we like this scripture often because it goes on to say that these thoughts and plans are for welfare and for peace and not for evil, and that's an exciting thing. So God has good plans for us. But we can't escape the very beginning of this and the very fact of the premise of the scripture that God has thoughts and God has plans. Amen? We know other places in Isaiah it tells us that our thoughts are not his thoughts, our ways are not his ways. Our plans and our thoughts are not God's thoughts and God's plans. That is according to our natural flesh, amen? The way that we are. If you are human and you came in here today as a human, your human thoughts and your human plans are not God's plans. They are not God's thoughts. Well, where people get so tripped up, they say, well, you know, they'll say things like, you interpret scripture. That's how you interpret that scripture. No, when you say things like that, what you're saying is that's how a human would interpret that scripture. But we are not to interpret scripture according to how I want to hear it or how I would do it or how you would do it, but according to the way that God wants to. And this is why people miss and can change what the Bible says, because what they're doing is they're replacing God's thoughts with their thoughts. When we look at the Word of God, we have to look at it the way that God wants us to. Well, how on earth do we do that? Aren't you glad you got church? Aren't you glad you got a body of believers? Aren't you glad you got people that study the Word, amen, around you? I'm glad for that. I'm so thankful that I surround myself with people who study the Word and know the Word and spend time with God to know more about God, amen? Praise the Lord. How many know that children think that they know most everything? Amen. And that generally doesn't stop, you know, right away. It takes a few years as I'm learning. You know, I'm in my 40s now, I'm starting to get to a place where I'm starting to think somewhat the way that I should, amen? But it's taken at least this long to get there. But children always think that they know the best way. They know, think they have the best ideas. But you can look at a thing a child says and you say, well, that's foolishness, and you know it's foolish because you're an adult and you've been through it and you've seen how those things haven't worked. Yeah. I mean, no, it's the same thing with the things of God. Yeah. You know, somebody who doesn't spend time with God at all or doesn't know much about the Lord, they'll sit there and say, well, that's what you think about that, or that's how you interpret that. But they don't know the things that you know if you've spent time with the Lord. And so if you spend a little bit of time with the Lord, you have a little bit more knowledge than someone who's spent none. And if you spend a lot of time with the Lord, then you have a lot more knowledge, amen? And if you will follow the principles of the Word, of course, you can know more. So we can know God, but it's a process, amen? Now, this is what I was getting about this, because when we talk about the plan of God, and when I bring this up, I say, what's the plan of God for your life? We think of it on this massive scale, amen? We think of it on this large scale, almost like it's the major deal, the major plan. You know, when you look at if you have a set of house plans in front of you, you know, there's different schematics, and then there's the whole plan. We always look at it as the whole plan. But sometimes we forget that our plans can be grand or minute. Every single day you can have plans. You can have ideas of how you go through your day or how you're going to get through something or over something, amen? These are all the plans. All these little plans are included in this, amen? They can be grand or they can be minute. We can remember something, we may look at a lifetime as an event, but we also know that a lifetime is broken up into something as small as minutes or seconds, which are also events. Yeah. Yeah. And all those little events equal the big event, don't they? So our life is nothing more than a collection of all those seconds and minutes throughout the years of our life, amen? And so the same thing is with the plan of God. The plan of God, the overall plan of God for your life is nothing more than a collection of the day-to-day, minute-to-minute decisions that we make. And so if we're in that plan, we can be in it minute by minute, or we can be out of it minute by minute, amen? I saw it like this, and this is what I was going to draw for you, so if you can picture me drawing up here, amen? That our plans are like this. Our plans lead to different things. And I had it written down. Let's see. I might have it in here. I have it drawn down. Yes, here we go. So our plans are what we decide. And so if we start there. And so what we understand about our plans, according to the Word, is God is not in our plans. He's in his plans. My thoughts are not your thoughts. My ways are not your ways. Therefore, your plans are not my plans. You could say the same thing. Amen. So our plans, God is not in them. And our plans are kind of circular. You ever heard of circular reasoning? Circular reasoning is not really an accepted or is a good thing. It's not, you know, if you're trying to prove something, using circular reasoning isn't a good way of doing it. What circular reasoning is essentially is you already, the end automatically, you automatically get to your destination because of your reasoning. You reason in such a way that you automatically get to what you wanted to get to. This is how many people hear from God. They go to God with their ideas, and then through their process of elimination, their process of thinking, they get right back to that place where, yes, God accepts what you want to do. And see, that's not right. So that's like our plans. So our plans lead us back to our plans. It's like a big circular thing. See, in our plans, the reason it brings us back is because our plans have, there's no God in our plans. Therefore, his power is not in our plans. And our plans are driven by things like fear and worry and the unknown. We don't know if our plans are going to work out. And so when our plans don't work out, because they rarely do, at least the way that we want them to, we end up back at the beginning. Amen. And that's not a good place to be. And so as humans, we do one of two things. We either start a new plan or we try to redo the old plan. You know, God has given us a lot of these examples in life that we can look at and we can laugh at, but we fail to realize that we do the same things. Have you ever watched a dog chasing its tail? No one on earth knows what a dog, but it's comical to watch it, isn't it? And we don't generally watch it and think of them as being overly brilliant while they're doing it. You're not watching a dog chasing its tail thinking, whoa, he's getting somewhere fast. Amen. And similarly, I always teach my kids, my oldest son here, he can tell you, attest to this, that he's heard these words out of my mouth probably enough times to make him ill. But I say to him often, I'll say, you know, don't spin your wheels. Don't in life. Don't just keep, what is that? It's just doing the same thing over and over. You're not getting anywhere. That's the plan of man. God's plan leads us in a straight line. God's plan is not circular. Because God's plan, the first thing that comes with God's plan is after you've accepted God's plan, the first thing that comes to you is his grace, which is his ability to accomplish his plan. And when you're in God's plan, that means that all things in your life at that point become part of God's plan. This is exciting. And this is the thing that most people are looking for. Most people are trying to figure out life. In God's plan, it's already figured out. There's already direction. There's already the answer. When there's an opposition, there's already, the problem that people face, and a lot of the reason people originally come into the church is because they got stuff going on in their life that they can't stop. It's gotten a little bit too far, it's gotten off track, and they don't know how to fix it. And see, the first fix that we can teach them is get out of your plan and get into God's plan, because your plan sucks. Your plan is stupid. Your plan doesn't work. That's not a completely bad word, is it? I mean, some people wouldn't like it. Sophia, don't listen to me. At that point, amen? Now you can listen to me. She's colored anyway. Something. That's good. Praise the Lord. But your plan is terrible. Your plan is worthless. I'm just going to tell you. You think that your plan is great, but you will not think your plan is great in 10 years. How do I know? Because I'm just old enough to have several 10-year plans that just didn't work out. In fact, I got to it and I thought, man, I wasted a lot of time. I wasted a lot of time trying to be blessed in my plan. And I realized that it didn't work. So God's plans are plans that move in a straight line. God's plan has grace, it has blessing, it has answers, it has ability, and all of those things. And so as you move through this life in God's plan, God takes care of all the rest. And when you have lack, God meets your lack. When you have need, God meets your need. Amen? Glory to God. This is an exciting place to be at. But this is where so many people they've failed, they've missed this mark, and they've missed this mark a lot of times because they're not taught it, but probably mostly because we live in a society that is all about, hey man, you do you. You do what's important to you. You do what makes you feel good. Yeah, you do what makes you feel good. Ask any drug user that and how far that's got them. I know because I used to be caught in that mess. As I would go to drugs or whatever to do me, to help me think or to help me not feel or to help me be free from whatever I was. And all it did was bind me more. It got me addicted. It got me so consumed with that I could see nothing else. Praise the Lord. How many know that Jesus will stop that mess? Jesus gives us true freedom. Amen. Glory to God. There's nobody who's I've not met an addict yet who's happy with it. There's fools in the beginning that they'll pretend that they're happy with it. Or people might have, you know, sometimes I think back on my shenanigans and things I did under the influence of various different things. And I thought, you know, at different times I had fun. But I can tell you there was always hard mornings. There was always hard days after spending time being high or being, wrapped up in that mess. And so you understand that there's no one, you never see somebody. In fact, there's this YouTube channel that I like to watch, and in it, this man interviews people from various backgrounds, and he's doing it as kind of a way. Really, it's not to judge them or anything like that, but the purpose of him doing it is to bring to light what these people deal with and where they are. So he interviews like prostitutes and drug addicts and stuff like that. And one of the things that I've always noticed is that, first of all, no one on the show that's ever being interviewed ever looks good. They never look healthy. They never look happy. In fact, when you talk to them, they never are. They're always consumed with that lifestyle, and usually they're sick and they're covered with sores and things like that. Well, there ain't nobody who that's blessing. Amen. See, God's plan isn't like that. That's why God is a healer. Glory to God. So we can understand this about plans, but to understand this further, I want to take you. Let's go over to 1 Corinthians 2. Praise the Lord. First Corinthians 2, verse 11. I think we were recently in one of my services I preached in. I was in these scriptures, but praise the Lord, this is what came up this morning. For what man knows the things of man except the spirit of man which is in him? Even so, no one knows the things of God except the spirit of God. So when we're talking about these plans, we understand that it's the spirit of God who knows. That's who we have to rely on for our direction. If we're not relying on the Spirit for our direction, we're going to be off in left field somewhere. But see, people are so accustomed with their own way of doing things that they try to make that God's way. But God doesn't speak to you the same way your flesh does. I'm just going to tell you this. Oh, ouch. Hallelujah. God doesn't speak to you the same way your flesh does. What tickles your flesh is never God. He's not coming down speaking to you the same way the same way that it feels when you're fornicating, or the same way it feels when you're adultering, or the same way it feels when you're lying, or the same way it feels when you steal, or whatever it is you do, whatever you do in sin. Glory to God. God isn't speaking to you that same way. And so if that's the way you're hearing God, you're hearing wrong. You're not hearing God. Amen. It goes on to say, now we have received not the spirit of the world, but the spirit of spirit who is from God. So this is what we've received, but how many know that the things of God are not automatic? The plan of God is no more automatic in your life, praise the Lord, than you won't get hungry if you don't eat ever again. You have to feed that. You have to feed hunger in order for it to be satisfied, right? And so the things of God are the exact same way. If we're not feeding those things, we'll never get past that. Amen. Praise the Lord. So now we've not received. So we've received, but we've received the Spirit of Him. But we have to operate in line with the Spirit. You know, Christians make this is where a disconnect happens a lot in the body of Christ. And I don't care if it's people who've been in the church for 50 years or people who are newly in the church, that they come in and they see and hear things like this. Well, I've got a new spirit on the inside of me, but then they still do things according to the old man. They do things according to the old way. This is why I'm not a big fan of church voting, democratic church processes. We actually, the way we do church is more, it's I think it's called like more like the Moses model or something like that. I actually found that out in research. I didn't know that that's what it is. But that God will lead through a man or woman, and then he will lead a group of people that way. And then collectively, he'll bring them together into the promised land, into the promises of the things that he has, which is the way God always led. I don't know why all churches don't do that. But when you have church votes, what you have is you have a whole congregation of people. And maybe half of those people aren't spiritual at all. They don't spend any time with God at all, but they get a vote. And if they get a vote, they're going to decide whatever flavor they like. See, the true spirituality is being able to pick something because it's good, because it's right, not because it's what you desire. It's like the politics of our country. Exactly. There's like so many things that come into, you know, a good, how many, if you're a good parent, you know this. Not always the best decision isn't always the fun decision. Amen. Oh, praise Lord. My kids are getting introduced now, really, for the first time. My boys are getting introduced to a real fun thing we call taxes. Taxes are something you don't have a choice in. And you might not like it. You may not understand it. You may not get it. But you got to do it. Because there's consequences for not doing it. Amen? If you've worked, you pay taxes. That's the way that it works. And yes, there's ways around that and stuff like that. But that's when you get good at paying taxes. Amen? You try to find ways around paying them. Amen? Well, that's what the world does. I mean, I'm not suggesting you do that. My God, you know, that's the last thing that we need to be doing. Now he's down there telling me, see, that's the same thing they accused Jesus of. He's saying you don't need to pay taxes. Jesus said, whoever's face is on the cross, he said, basically what he was saying is, it's no business of mine. I don't care one way or the other. You got to pay taxes, God will supply that too. If you're in the plan, if you're not in the plan, well, then you got to figure out your own way. But, well, amen. Praise the Lord. So he's given us a spirit. That we might know the things that have been freely given to us by God. And so the purpose of the Spirit is he's going to lead us, or part of the purpose of the Spirit is he's going to lead us in that plan. And when he's leading us in that plan, then we can understand what things belong to us. And so we don't have to spend our lives like the rest of the world trying to figure out how we're going to get this, how we're going to get that, how we're going to do this, how we're going to do that. See, if you're a Christian, if you call yourself a Christian today, and you spend your life always trying to figure it out, you need to spend time with the Spirit of God. You need to get this understanding. You need to get in his plan. Because if you're just trying to figure out your own life, that just proves that you're not listening to the Spirit. Because the Spirit does lead into that. Amen? So how do we get into that? Well, I'm glad you asked. We submit to the plan of God. We submit to those minute-to-minute things in the plan of God. We start making those steps. And one of those things, praise the Lord, I'll just give you this. Part of that I preached on last night, not even meaning to, but I preached on some stuff last night. It was kind of a real heavy message, actually, to tell you the truth. But if you got it in you, you should go back and listen to that because it'll bless you. Amen. If you do what it says. Amen. But that's part of finding the plan of God. These things we also speak, not in words which man's wisdom teaches, but which the Holy Spirit teaches, comparing spiritual things with spiritual. But the natural man, look at this, the natural man does not receive the things of the Spirit of God, for they are foolishness to him. For he cannot, nor can he know them, because they are spiritually discerned. Notice it says they're foolishness. The things of God are foolishness to the natural man. What that is when you hear the Word of God preach, and it says something that your flesh goes, ew. That's called foolishness in your mind. You're like, ew, why would I do that? Ick, why would I do that? Why would I touch that? That's icky. Why would I do that? That doesn't make sense. It doesn't make sense that I would do that. That's the natural thinking. That's the natural man. Do you know how many Christians just perpetually live in that? Like they reject. They start rejecting things. You're preaching about it in the Word and they start rejecting it. It's like, you know what you're doing? You're calling it foolishness. You're being in line with, you're not discerning spiritually. Amen? And that will keep you in that place of spinning your wheels. It's your plans. But he who is spiritual judges all things, yet he himself is rightly judged by no one. For who has known the mind of the Lord that he may instruct him? But we have the mind of Christ. Now, a lot of people use this scripture. This is one of those scriptures a lot of people like to take out of context and use wrong. My God. Here we go again. Just not getting very far very fast as I'm going. Praise the Lord. I just look down at the clock and I think, how can this be that I only have that much time left? But and you're sitting there saying, is it lunchtime yet? Praise the Lord. But I just make that statement because I remember how it is. You know, it's a lot easier to stand under the anointing and preach than it is to sit while somebody's standing under the anointing and preaching. And so an hour to you is much different right now than an hour to me. Amen. Glory to God. But the rest of your afternoon will probably be much different than mine as well. Glory, praise the Lord. I was in bed last night at, what, 8:30? 8 o'clock, a little after 8 o'clock, I thought it was like midnight. That's just the way, sometimes when you preach like that, that's what happens. I mean, I just drove home, went to bed, amen? Praise God. Praise the Lord. So anyways, where was I? Oh, the mind of Christ, yeah. See, if you look at this scripture in context, this is not just saying that, you know, that we have the mind of Christ, like all of a sudden our mind is differently. But what it's talking about is as we yield to the Holy Spirit, we have what the mind of Christ is, because the Holy Spirit reveals to us what the mind of Christ is. And so as we follow God's plan, as we get into the plan, as we make those steps, like, listen, I'm going to make this real easy on you. Because I just sense that there's some people in here going through some things that I've gone through in the past. When somebody's preaching something and you think, man, this is way, like, this is too much for me. I don't even know how to get there. You start small. You yield where you know. You start in the basic levels. That's why I said all that stuff about minute to minute and minute, you know, the minute details and in the seconds of life. Remember, your entire life is made up of so many minutes and so many seconds, right? That's just what it is. I almost quoted the song. There's a song that talks about the minutes of a year, you know, and it's not necessarily from a good thing, but you know, there's like 525,600 minutes. Has anyone heard that? 525,600 minutes in a year. See, that's how fast my mind works when I'm under the anointing. It's like, bam! Just multiplicate. Just kidding. It wasn't like that at all. I listened to the song before, and that's where I got. Don't go finding the song. Don't go listening to it on my account. But just, yeah, you know, I did the math to make sure that they were right, and it's right. But there's every year is made up of minutes, and every life is made up of years, which is made up of minutes, which is made up of seconds, and so we understand. So we start small. We think about the plan of God as this thing that is so unobtainable to us, because we're trying to figure out God, but the Bible has never called us to that. We have the mind of Christ, meaning that we have the Holy Spirit given to us to reveal. That's what this whole section of Scripture is saying. The Holy Spirit wants to reveal day to day, minute by minute, everything that He wants you to do. And so as we get the plan of God for today, we get the plan of God for the week. We get the plan of God because we put today together with six other days, and you got a week. And then you put that together with how many days? You know, you put today together with 364 days sometimes, and you get a whole year. Praise the Lord, sometimes. Sometimes it's less, sometimes it's more, but, well, we're not going to go into that either, because that's not what we're teaching, amen? So the plan of God, we want the mind of Christ. We want the mind, and part of this is going, you know, the Bible says in Matthew 5, it tells us that he who hungers and thirsts for righteousness shall be filled. Remember, righteousness means to be right, right? It means right standing with God, it means to be right. He who hungers and thirsts to be right will be filled. So if you hunger and thirst to be right in your seconds, in your minutes, in your hours, guess what? You'll be filled, because God will start directing you that way. You start learning to yield yourself to God that way. Amen? Part of what you're doing here today, believe it or not, is yielding to the plan of God. But we need to be effective at doing that. When we come into church and we understand that we're gathering for a purpose, and that purpose of us coming together is so God can reveal the plan to us collectively and individually, as we come together, that plan will come out in our lives as we submit to it. And what I mean submit to it, I haven't given you any directions, right, other than to follow God. And that's what we're doing together. And there will be things, like every once in a while, there'll be something, hey, we're going to start a church in Corey. Guess what? That's part of the plan of God. And since you're connected, that's part of the plan of God for your life. Amen? Praise the Lord. And so there's all kinds of, you know, there's all kinds of things like that. There's all kinds of opportunities to do that. Amen? 2 Corinthians 4:7 says, but we have this treasure in earthen vessels, that the excellence of the power may be of God and not of us. It tells us a whole lot there. One thing that tells us is that God didn't perfect us on purpose. If you are not perfect, I'm speaking to you right now, so if you're not perfect, hear what I'm about to say. If you're not perfect, you're perfect for God. God wants to use you. Praise the Lord. Why? Because we have He put this treasure in us, knowing us. In fact, so many times I have to go before the Lord. And I do it partially for my own sake, but partially for His. I remind Him. I'm like, Lord, You called me. You knew how I was. You knew that I was a mess. You know that I thought this way. Every single time that I want to, you remember I told you about maybe I said on Tuesday night, I don't remember, but I told people about my grandfather. My grandfather said that missionaries break rules. Like, God knew that. He knew I was born into that mess. He knew that I just had that thinking. He knew that it was just in me. It was ingrained in me. Certainly there's things ingrained in you that are wrong and aren't right. Amen? Praise the Lord. Actually, I believe that God put that desire in us to break rules. Now, we can take that too far and break the wrong rules. What it means, what I really have learned it to be is this, that we don't just go with the flow for the sake of going with the flow, that we want the truth, amen? And that's what it is. I don't mind following a rule if it's a truth. In fact, I'm kind of a rule follower, believe it or not. Like, it's funny because I'm someone who breaks and pushes the limits, break rules and pushes the limits. But if someone has a little sign on their yard that says, don't step in my yard, I'm yelling at people that are stepping in the yard because there's a sign there. Can't you read the sign? You don't do that. You know, I have this conflict because I'm also an artist and by nature too. And sometimes that manifests through like things like taking pictures and stuff like that. But I won't take pictures because I won't. Because I don't want it to offend, or I don't want it to, because I don't think you should step there. You know, the only people that get the best pictures are the ones who are willing to go out and, trespass and stuff like that. And my wife says, you know, sometimes you're just going to have to do that if you want to get the good shot. She told me that. So my wife's a rule breaker too, amen? Notice she ain't denying it either. So she's she steps in the grass, yeah. Like, I don't even have to have a sign. If we're out for a walk or something like that, I realize that the sidewalk is my boundary. If someone else owns that property, it's not for me to step on. She'll step on the grass, and I always yell, don't I? I always say something. Every single time I say something, I'm like, you can't do that. You can't just let, you have to think about other people. Amen? No. My wife is a wonderful woman. She thinks about other people, but you have to understand that sometimes, you know, that's lost in this world too. They think, well, I should just be able to go here because what? Because I'm American, because I'm human, because I'm alive. I don't know, because I get to, you know, walk it. But there's boundaries. There are boundaries. And so for that, but I will sometimes, if somebody came out and said, you can't come, I might ask why. You can't come here. Why? Why can't I? Because I'm an American. I want to know why I can't be here. Amen. It says that's the other side of it. See, I have a conflict in myself. Sometimes I praise God. Oops, close my Bible. Hallelujah. We have this earth treasure in earthen vessels, that the excellence of the power may be of God and not of us. Though the excellence of the power is on him, it is to be shown in us. But I want to ask you something. Where is the evidence of his victory in the church? Where is the evidence of his true power in the church? The reason the evidence is there is because not enough people are submitted in the right way. What I mean by that is people are following their own plans and not his plans. They're starting churches and building churches, but they're doing so to start the kind of church that they want, to have the kind of church that they want. Amen? That's why, you know, even when I was, you know, and I know there's quite a few people that asked when we weren't having Tuesday services, when are we going to have those again? You know, and I really wanted to seek the Lord on it because the one thing is I was like, were we doing it just to have a midweek service? And I don't want to have church just to have church. I don't want to do it just because it's something we like to do. I want to do things with God because they're things that God wants to do. But that should also speak to you too, because if you don't come to Tuesday nights, it should be something to you that says something like, wait a minute. If God is having him do this, maybe I should be part of that. Praise the Lord. Because we have these other things. We have these, and I understand there's times where people can't and stuff like that, you know, especially when you get out, people work all week. But when we understand what the importance of coming together are and the things that will come out of that, amen. But like my wife said, I wholeheartedly agree. If you don't want to be part of it, if you don't want what comes in that, well, then don't come, because we don't want that. Because on the other hand, what that does is that will flatten the service and it'll make it harder for the rest of us to get into it. And I'm a little selfish that way. I want to get into what God has. Praise the Lord. So if you just don't want to, then don't. Amen? Glory to God. The excellence of the power is of him, but it is to be shown in us. we will see the fulfillment of the power of God in his people as we connect to that, as we connect to what he's doing in that plan. Now, again, that plan is not just to say that you have to be obedient to every, you know, if there's a service, you have to do that. No, but it's having a certain mindset. I didn't know if I was going to do this, and this is completely off what I have written down here, but we're going to do it anyways. Amen? Let's go to Acts 4. Praise God. Now, I'm going to show you this. I want to take you to a certain, what I'm taking you here for is to show you how the early church was. Amen. Now, we're going to go over here. Let's go to verse 31. So we're in Acts 4. Over there, verse 31, and this is how the early church looked. So I want you to keep this in mind as we read this. This is how the early church looked. And when they had prayed, the place where they were assembled together was shaken. That wasn't metaphor for something. That was physically shaken. Power of God. Let me ask you something. Were these people any less earthen vessels than you and I? No, not at all. Amen. So the place where they were assembled together was shaken, and they were all filled with the Holy Spirit, and they spoke the word of God with boldness. All of them spoke the word with boldness. Think about these things. So this is what was happening. Now that doesn't mean that they all sat there and preached a sermon. That's not what I was talking about. But they were all able, and now there may have been a manifestation of that, but the point is that they were able to preach the word of God. Now, verse 32, now the multitude of those who believed were of one heart and one soul, meaning one mind. So they were doing the same things for the same purpose. They were together. They might not, listen, they might have been different colored skin. It didn't matter. They may have come from different backgrounds, different wealth, different, all kinds of things. But none of that mattered to them because they were there for the same purpose. Amen? How many know that coming together in the local church for the same purpose is a pretty good idea? People want to know where the power of God is. I'm just going to tell you this right now. If people are having the power of God without this, it ain't the power of God. It's lying deception is what it is. It's of the devil. If you're not having if you're having a move of God, but you don't have this, it ain't God. Well, praise the Lord, because this is how God works. We're given the example. Believed were of one heart and one soul. Neither did anyone say that any of the things he possessed was his own, but they had all things in common. Wow. And with great power, the apostles gave witness. With great power. Why? Because of the scripture we just read. To the resurrection of the Lord Jesus, and great grace was upon them all. Not just the apostles, but on them all. What is grace? Grace is the ability of God that you don't have yourself. That is God working in earthen vessels. That's the excellency of the power working in earthen vessels. Amen? You are earthen vessel. I am an earthen vessel. Praise the Lord. Nor was there anyone among them who lacked. Wow. That's pretty interesting, isn't it? Wasn't one of them that lacked. But it goes on. For all who were possessors of lands or houses sold them and brought the proceeds of the things that were sold. Now, that didn't mean that they didn't have a place to live. That didn't mean that they just gave away everything. But what it's talking about is all those who had extra were bringing it and putting it together. Now, I'm not saying this as a reason, like, I'm not using this as an example to give, because here's the thing. You can't do this if you don't have revelation of this. There will be no grace in your life to do something you don't have revelation to do. So you can't sell all your possessions, just give them away to the poor and expect the power of God to work in you. It doesn't work that way. You have to have revelation of it and do it from a place of revelation. But see, these people were together with one accord, and that brought the revelation to them of the things that they were to do. And so they weren't being asked to sold. So it's the same thing. If I'm asking you to sell everything you have and bring it into the local church, I am a preacher who is preaching an error. Because God did not call us to do that. He did not call. It didn't say that the apostles were telling them to do it. Praise the Lord. Now, that doesn't mean if I shame you for not giving into an offering. Praise the Lord. I'm joking when I say that. But you understand, if we take up offerings, we take them up for a reason. There's need. And there's, just so you know, there's great need in the church now. There's need for things. We have need for things, and we're trying to finish. Of course, we're working on it still. We're about to finish the sound system here, but we're also working on the one in Corey and some other things, and other things are coming down the road that we're going to do. And so just be aware of that. There's always need financially in the church. And those who and God has called us to bring those things together. But that's not why I'm preaching this. These people had that relation of that togetherness, of being after the same work and for the same things. And so they were able to do that. And they brought the proceeds of the things that were sold and laid them at the apostles' feet. And they were distributed to each as anyone had need. Glory to God. And then it goes on to talk about that. But the early church, they were together with that one accord, with that one mind, with a heart for the collective, not a heart just for their own. And the problem is even people who are in poverty that focus on the poverty, they're focused on trying to get out of poverty. They're just seeking their own. So it doesn't matter if you're rich and not giving or you're poor and you're not giving. It doesn't matter. The point is that your heart isn't in what God is doing. When your heart is part of what God's doing, he supplies. I said he takes care of it all. See, I talked about this last night. Like, we struggle and strive for things, and all we're doing is wasting our time. We're wasting our time because God's promised to supply those if we would just get in his plan. So we got to get over into his plan before those things happen, before he takes care of it. Amen? Glory to God. Praise the Lord. I was looking for the clock. I just forgot where it was for a second. Amen. And so we see this treasure is given us to earthen vessels. God wants to show it in earthen vessels, but those earthen vessels have to be submitted to him. Those earthen vessels have to be after his and not their own. Amen. Glory to God. And so we have to think about these things as we go through life, as we make our decisions, as we, as we go, whatever we're going to do, praise the Lord. Glory, hallelujah. Well, you know, it's funny as I'm ministering and there's things that come and it's like filtering out, like, is that something that I specifically say right now, or is it something that I hold on to? And so, sometimes if you see me, like, yeah, it's like a squirrel. It's just it ran through my mind and went, amen. But you know, that's how the Holy Ghost uses me. If you heard me explain how I put together today's sermon, it was crazy, but it happened nonetheless, and that's how God did it, amen. But that's how he uses me, praise the Lord. I just want to bring this up. Can we just bring this scripture up, Caleb? Hebrews 2, 1 through 4. I'm not going to have you turn there for time's sake. We're going to turn to something else here in a minute. Therefore, we must give more earnest heed to the things we have heard, lest we drift away. So the things that we've heard that are of God, the things of the Word, we have to give more earnest heed to those. What does that mean? It means we focus on those things. So when you're thinking about your day-to-day, focus on the things that you've heard. Focus on what God's saying, not focus on what God's saying, not what you want to focus on. You know what I mean? Like sometimes, and I get that this is a process. It takes us time to do so. I'll give you an example. I'm going to share an example I shared last night's service. This week I was praying, and I was praying for some things that was happening in our nation, and I was coming at it from a righteous standpoint, except from this idea that these were bad things that are happening, and I was praying against them. And I said, Lord, I said, it's not right that we have to deal with these things. And the Spirit spoke to me right then and with one word, contentment. Gave me one word, contentment. And I thought about that. And of course, with it came the knowledge of what he was talking about. See, the Lord might give you a word, but he'll also give you the understanding of what the word means. I love that about the Lord. And so he gave me that word, contentment. But what I understood was that God called me to contentment. He didn't call me to necessarily to get involved in things that didn't involve me. You see, I believe that there's some things that are happening in this nation to bring the church into a greater place of being. There's some things that are happening in this nation that don't seem right, but God is allowing them to bring people into the churches and to strengthen the churches. Amen? There are some things that are happening that are not right that you can't pray against. And what the Lord was showing me is that not everything that bad happens means that I got to pray against it, because I could be praying against the will of the Lord. I mean, think about that. We can be praying for something we think is righteous, but And the reason is because we only filter it through our understanding. We only filter it through what we know. We filter it through our humanity and not what God is doing in the moment. Where we need to ask ourselves, where is God in this? If something bad is happening, maybe something bad is happening to us. Where is God in this? Is this an attack just because I'm a child of God and just something coming against me? Or is God doing something greater? And I mentioned last night, and I'll mention it again, how the Apostle Paul and Silas, they knew so much that they were in the plan of God that when they were beaten and thrown in prison, you'd pray against it. But they didn't pray against it. They worshiped God. That's what they did. They were beaten and thrown in prison falsely. They weren't in there for the right reasons. They didn't do something wrong. They didn't break the law. They were beaten because they were preaching the word of the Lord, because they were preaching Jesus Christ and him crucified. And they were they were imprisoned for it. They were punished for it. How many times, Christian, have you been going through your life and something bad happens and you go, oh my God, this can't be right. And you start praying and you get other people, pray with me. When the whole time it's like, maybe you just need to wait. Well, how do you know? You've got to spend time with the Lord to know. It's got to matter to you enough to know God's will. You know, in Ephesians, I'm preaching part of last night's sermon, Ephesians 5:17 tells us, do not be unwise, but understanding, knowing what the will of the Lord is. As a Christian, it is your duty to know what the will of God is minute to minute, hour by hour, day to day. And people who focus on the things that they heard will be people that know the will of the Lord. But let's be honest, how do we spend our days? Well, I got to get up and go to work today. So I get up and go to work and I do the things that I got to do to work. And then I got to do this. I got to feed the kids or I got to feed someone else's kids or I got to feed myself and I got to do this and I got to do that. All those things Jesus said, don't think about, but thinking about them. I don't care on what level you're thinking about them. Maybe you're thinking on a level like I have nothing and I'm just trying to figure it out. Or maybe you're thinking on a level of I have everything and which cupboard do I go to? Doesn't matter. See, that's what I'm saying is that we're so accustomed to our focus and our thinking to be on natural things. It's not wrong to think about natural things. If you get hungry, it's not wrong to think, hey, what do I want? But you know, sometimes my wife and I, when we go somewhere, we love to Yelp. We look up on Yelp and we try to find a good restaurant to go to because we hate chains. I hate chains. Why? Because you get okay food at chains. But you get the real good food when you go off chain. Just telling you the truth. So if you want to eat real good, then you go to Yelp. Sometimes. And sometimes they're completely liars. But as we found, but we get in and we find restaurants. But you know, sometimes it's real easy. We find a restaurant, we go to it. But you know, sometimes when we're looking, we just get frustrated because it's just like you're just sitting there looking and looking and looking. You can't find anything. Maybe it's the area you're in or maybe it's the mood you're in or whatever. In times like that, you know what you do? Like really, the thing is just put it down. Don't worry about it. Figure something out and do it. Sometimes it's like it's not worth it to just spend so much time. Why would we spend an hour of our time? This is help for us. Seriously, why would we spend an hour of time trying to figure out what to eat? Just figure it out and go do it. Is that, I mean, in the grand scheme of things, is that going to matter? You know what I mean? Sometimes people, they waste time on so much. Like, there's things, I'll just be honest with you. I got a broken heater in my back room. My back room, we have this specific heater kind of heat and all this stuff. I don't understand a whole lot about it, but it hasn't been working well. And at first, I was kind of like, you know, really bothered by it because I use that room a lot. That's the room where I go to, I seek the Lord on and all these things, you know. Of course, I've learned I can seek the Lord in other places of the house too. But I go to that room, and this heater is broken, and I'm trying to figure out, and I realize all of a sudden that I was just spending too much time thinking about it. So you know what I did? Left it alone. I mean, it's not going to damage the house or anything like that. It's not broken like that, or it's not going to cause us to die in our sleep because we just can't use it, and it's not as comfortable as we want it to be. But what is that? That's me just a lot. I'm not going to spend time. If I can't figure it out, I'm not going to spend a lot of time. Yeah, I called somebody to come in and look at it. They came in and looked at it. Guess what? They didn't figure it out either. I haven't heard back from them. How many times does that happen? You think they at least want the money to fix it or try to get you a new one. But that hasn't happened. So you know what I do? I just don't worry about it. I'm just not, like, I'll be uncomfortable for a little while if it takes, because when it happens, I'll learn something by it. But see, how many times do we go through life and we get caught up in something and this is just our focus, and for weeks and weeks and weeks and months and months and months, we're, now this is not, this. Listen, this is not like direction to just be lazy and not do something. That's not, you know, it's like, well, you know, I guess I can't find the right job, so I guess I'll just sit around and do nothing. That's not what I'm saying. I mean, if you have direction specifically, but you know, the Bible says if you don't work, you don't eat. So if you're not eating, you better work more. You know what I mean? That's part of it. And so that's part of living. That's part of what we have to do. But you don't worry about the job. Amen. Maybe it's this job for a little while, and God will lead you into something better. Amen. But glory to God. And sometimes there will be, it's bad, I can't get all this, because you just didn't give me enough time today. Amen. Praise the Lord. Well, we got this far. We got to Hebrews 2:1. Maybe we'll get further next week. But we must give more earnest heed to the things which we have heard, lest we drift away. If we don't do right with what we've heard, why do we come back expecting we're going to receive more of God? If we don't do right with the word, I mean, we've given you, I've preached enough stuff in 7 years to keep you busy the rest of your life. I'm telling you the truth, to keep me busy the rest of my life. Shoot, I preached more this week to keep me busy the rest of my life. How good is God that he keeps feeding us and keeps giving us stuff? But if we don't pay attention to what we've heard, how are we going to go into greater things? People want fire from heaven. They want to see the lame walk. They want to see the blind see. They want to see the deaf hearing again. They want to see those who are dead come back to life. Where do you think that happens? That doesn't come in a bunch of complacent people who could care less about what they're going to do, and they're more focused on how they're, you know, going to get their toenails cut today or colored today or whatever, their hair colored, than they are doing anything with the plan of God. You understand? None of those things are wrong, but we got to keep right things in the right place. We got to keep the right things focused in the right area. Look at the right things, where God's plan is. Get your eyes set on that. And when you do, all other things will start coming together. But until you do, nothing will. If you are in perpetual hurt and perpetual trial and perpetual trouble, there is a reason for that. And that reason is not God. That reason is because you have not connected to what God is doing. So connect to God. Now listen, there's times of trial. Don't get me wrong. Months and months sometimes. There can be sometimes where it's for you for years. But if you keep your heart set right in that, on the other end of that, there will be victory. It's guaranteed. Amen? So don't, if you've been going through trial, don't just think that I'm just calling you a loser, because it's certainly not. I went through, 2020 was all trial for me. The whole thing was trial for me. And some of 2021 has been that. But I'm telling you what, I'm getting happier and getting better as I go. Why? Because I understand what's going on. I'm starting to understand what God is doing. Amen? God can work through the trial. It doesn't mean that he's putting sickness on us and destroying us. Amen. I can't just go down that road. But you understand what I mean. Amen. Praise the Lord. Let's focus on God and get all that he has for us.